Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
That at the name of Jesus, here's kingship, every knee, Osama bin Laden's knee, Adolf Hitler's knee, President Biden, President Trump, President Obama, Oprah Winfrey, Tom Cruise, LeBron James, Justin Bieber, Kim Kardashian, Kanye, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Here we go. The difference between us and those that are still in bed today is we know he's king before everybody else knows he's king. That we are here bowing our knee and confessing with our voice who Jesus is before we have to. But oh, it gives me some solace at night when I realize that all the haters in this world, all the godless in this world, all the people coming against the church in this world, that sooner or later they're going to call him king just like they're going to crown him, they're going to throne him. But as for me and my house, we're going to do it before we have to. We're going to do it because we want to. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, put him back on the throne. The name of Jesus, every knee. My God. If Satan has a knee, he's bowing. Every knee. Every one of those demons that got kicked out of hell that have been showing up at your doorstep, your bedside, your marriage, every one of them. Every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. In heaven, on earth, under the earth, every knee. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not a Lord, not a God, not a King, but the Lord, the King. To the glory of God the Father. For the last few moments that I have in this service, I want to take us to Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. If you love that, you're going to love this, because let me just tell you, the context of Matthew 8, verse 5 through 13 does not fit within the mold and the model that Jesus had set up for himself with his earthly ministry. He breaks the norm to show us something in verse 5. And the reason he breaks the norm is so that you and I cannot sit in July of 2021 and talk about why God can't. But we can now talk about why God can and why God does. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, which means he was Roman, beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy and grievously tormented. Two things that we need to understand about this text from the very beginning. We always preach sickness, but this man was sick and possessed. This guy's about as far as you can get. And his boss comes up. The Roman centurion comes and finds Jesus. And he says one word that changes the narrative of this story. Because up until now, almost exclusively, Jesus has healed Jews. He has delivered Jews. He has encouraged, inspired, and taught Jews. But here is somebody that is not Jewish, that calls him Lord. That excites me because I'm Cajun, but I ain't Jewish. I'm French, but I'm not Jewish. I'm German, but I'm not Jewish. According to Ancestry.com, I'm 1% Pakistani, but I'm not Jewish. I think that one's a little wrong. I don't know, though. I don't know. He says, Lord. For a Roman to walk up and say Lord, it changes things. When you look up the word Lord in Greek, it comes from the word kurios. Kurios, most of the time, Lord is used in a general conversation. It is sir. That is not what he is saying here. The reason I know that's not what he's saying here is because of how Jesus reacts to what he's saying. Because remember, not to get too far ahead of myself, Jesus ends this discourse saying, I've not seen so great a faith in all of Israel that I do in this man. That doesn't come from a sir. When he says Lord, it means master. It means owner. It means Yahweh. It means the divine. It means Jehovah. Here is a Roman who is out of place, who is in the wrong dispensation of time, who is not even supposed to be able to approach him, lest let Jesus lend him his ear. But when Jesus finds somebody who calls him king, it doesn't matter your color, your gender, or your background. When you say king, Jesus leans in and he says, if you know me as king, you're a part of my kingdom, and I want to hear what you have to say. So when we say King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's tapped into this. How we identify, if you're taking notes, write this down. How we identify Christ determines whether the need will be met. If it had been a, hey you, hey mister, Joseph's son, James brother, Jesus would have kept walking. Because now he's only identifying them through his relationship with other people. Jesus doesn't want you to call him by what you've heard someone else say or how someone else has experienced him. Jesus wants you to call him. There's only one person that calls Mandy baby girl, and that's me. Your boy will go to prison if I hear anybody but me, maybe her dad, but I'm the only one that calls her baby girl. I'm the only one. I've heard some of your pet names for one another, and it turns my stomach a little bit, but it doesn't for the person you're talking to. Why? Because that's the relationship you're in. When I call on Jesus, he knows I'm in relationship. Why? Because I talked to him this morning. I prayed to him this afternoon. I worshiped him on the way to work. I was in devotion with him on my break. It's not, hey, you. It's not, rabbi. That's what you do and what you know. It's not, hey, teacher. That's what you do and what you know. It's not Joseph and Mary's son. That's their relationship with you. It's not James' brother. That's his relationship. But when the man says, Lord, King, I need to talk to you. He looks at him. Different color skin, Roman, but he knows me as king, so I'm going to talk to him. A Roman centurion knows this principle. He identifies who Jesus is before he asks what he needs. Jesus is not Santa Claus. He's not a genie in a bottle. You don't walk to an altar, hit it three times, and do your Holy Ghost dance and say this prayer, and everything falls into place. The way that I pray is I pray that first 15 or 20 seconds so that God knows that I know who he is. God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you have changed my life. You are a good God. You saved me. You turned my life around. You turned it upside down. I want to thank you for all the good that you've done in my life. Now, God, this is what I need you to do. I told him, I know who you are, and now this is what I need. You're my king. I live in the kingdom. So kingdom benefits are for me and my family. Turn to your neighbor and tell him kingdom benefits are for me and my family. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. He didn't ask how long he had been a part of the church. He didn't ask if he spoke in tongues yet and had been baptized. He didn't ask what he was good at. He didn't ask if he was serving on a team yet. All of those things are vitally important to the believer and the Christian growth and their walk. But when we're talking about life transformation, life change, miracle signs, wonders, and breakthroughs, all Jesus is looking is, do you know him as king? Do you live in the kingdom? And that is good enough for him. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Right off the bat, this is what I love. No matter where the conversation goes, church, his servant is going to be healed. Oh, don't miss it. No matter where the rest of this conversation goes, Jesus said, I will come and I will heal him. What does that mean, Pastor? If I show up at your house, he's going to be healed. If I stay right here and send my word, he's going to be healed. It doesn't matter from here on out, because you know me as king and you're in my kingdom, healing is the blessing and he's going to be healed no matter what. Can I just tell the church today, if he's your king, if you've rethroned him, if he's on the throne of your life, it is a foregone conclusion that whatever you need from God, it's coming to your house, it's coming to your family, it's coming to your future. I don't know how, I just know it will. In Jesus' name, I will come and heal him. I will come. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you would come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Ooh, so much good stuff here. The perspective of who God is and who we are not will change everything. He said, I know who you are, and my house is not worthy for your physical presence. This is what he said. If you're taking notes, write this down. When you go through hardship, declare this. Jesus is king, I am not. Trouble shows up, Jesus is king, I am not. What does that mean? I'm not worried about that. That's Jesus. He's my king. I live in his kingdom. I'm not out fixing potholes. I'm not out running. I live in the kingdom. I live in the city limits of heaven. That's who I am. I'm a kingdom person. You're a kingdom person. Jesus is king. I am not. Quit arguing your way to the throne room. Quit debating with people who are trying to talk you in and out of who your king is. Jesus is king and you are not. I am not. Quit trying to sit on the throne. He's king. We are not. But what do, Pastor? We do the possible. He does the impossible. We praise. He performs. He works. While we worship, while we serve, he shows up. Jesus is king. I am not. Speak the word only. The authority of the word is evident. This story teaches us. The authority of the word is evident that even without the physical presence of the king, the king's word still works. This is the principle. This is where we take a hard right, and it's different than every other story so far in the Gospel of Matthew, is this is what is shown to us, that Jesus doesn't have to physically be there for his word to work. Why? Because that's how a king operates. He sits on the throne and he makes mandates and he makes ordinances and he makes laws that govern his kingdom. When I was a teenager, sometimes I would go places in my truck that I was not supposed to go. Statutes of limitations has run out. 7 years, it's over. I would not be home at curfew. And no doubt I would get a call from Bishop or Pastor Becky reminding me that their authority did not end at the front door, but their authority went all the way to Austin, Texas. Their authority went all the way to Houston. Their authority went all the way to Corpus. Wherever I was, their authority reached. And they would put the fear of God back in me. Oh, you remember how it was. They start calling you on the phone and you're not in your truck or car headed back home. And so you wouldn't answer the phone until you were in your car headed back home. And then you'd answer it all out of breath, trying to act like you're not out of breath. Oh, yeah, I'm on my way home. Why didn't you pick up the last two or three times? Oh, I'm on my way home. I'll be there in a little bit. This story reminds us. Jesus doesn't have to physically be here for his word to work. The blood still works. His word still works. That's why we've got to spend more time in that book than on Facebook. That's why we got to spend more time talking to him in the throne room than we are to our friends in the break room. Why? Because the word still works. The king is sitting on the throne, and the authority of God does not stop at the back door, does not stop at the end of the church parking lot. Wherever you are as a kingdom citizen, his word will work. I am not king. Jesus, your king. Speak the word, and I know that the word will work. Praise team, if you'll come. Praise team, if you'll come. That should fire us up as believers, because it is a look at how believers' faith works in the year 2021. Verse 9, in closing, for I am a man under authority. He said, don't show up at my house. Send your word. Speak your word only, and I know my servant will be healed. Then he goes on, verse 9, to give context to why he can say that. He said, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Here's the thing. The centurion is under authority and in authority, meaning this, you must be under authority to have authority. You must be under authority to be in authority. If you speak and nothing happens, you're outside of the kingdom. Or you're in the kingdom and that king's not on your throne. You're in the wrong kingdom. Because when you speak, you are under the authority of Jesus Christ. You and I are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. When we speak the word, it should sound just like heaven is declaring that word. That's why Jesus would say, you speak to the mountain and the mountain will move. Why? Because the very same voice that created the mountains in Genesis 1 now resides in my belly. And when I speak the word of God, mountains should still move. He said, I'm under authority. I'm in authority because I'm under authority. You want your voice to have more influence? Get under the king. You want your hands to be more productive? Get under the king. You get under that authority, your authority goes through the roof. I deal with young people every Saturday night. Pastor Mandy deals with young people every Wednesday. Sister Glory and her team deal with young people every Sunday morning. And you know what I found? Some of your authority only works at your house. And then when they are out from under your authority, they act like they've never been under authority. Because it goes to your driveway and nowhere else. That's why you keep getting little calls about little Johnny at school. That's why you get emails from some of our team saying they've been bullying somebody, they kicked somebody, they cussed somebody. My mind was blown when I heard that 5- and 6-year-olds are cussing people out next door. You say, well, that's just the school system. No, that's your system. You're not under authority, so you're not in authority. And you're raising people that are anarchists, that are not going to be what God has called them to be. Hopefully they don't end up in prison somewhere. But I want to tell you that you can make that right here today. You can get back under the authority of Jesus Christ. And maybe it's not family and children. Maybe it's a situation that's out of control. Maybe your body's not under authority. Maybe relationships are not under authority. But if you'll get back under Jesus, if you'll be under authority, you will have authority. Under authority to be in authority. He said this. He said, I go and one goes. I say, come and he comes. I say, do this and he does this. Give me 1 minute before we stand. This is what he said. He says, everything I need as a Roman centurion leader can be done with 3 words. Go, come, do this. Everything you need from God falls under those 3 commands. When you get a cancer report, cancer, go. Healing, come. Holy Spirit, do this. You need money? Poverty? Go. Prosperity? Come. Holy Spirit, do this. You have a bad marriage? Strife? Go. Peace and reconciliation? Come. Holy Spirit, do this. I love that. I love the fact that a stranger had tapped in. I don't know Jesus like everybody else knows him, but I know that he's a king, and I know that when he speaks, things happen. I want you to stand on your feet today. We're talking about rethroning Jesus. There's a haunting scripture that ends this, that we always end right there. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say, I've not so found so great a faith in all of Israel." This is what Jesus said. He said, "You want me to set up my kingdom on earth?" But he said, here's a man that understands why I came. It's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom that has physical benefits, yes. But I'm not building a castle and a big throne here on this earth. I'm not going to make Brandon fly all the way to Jerusalem to worship me. But right where they are in San Antonio, they live under the kingship and I'm on their throne. They can say, go, come, do this, and it will happen. He said, "I haven't seen so great a faith." He said, Peter missed it on this one. James missed it. John missed it. Verse 11, here we go. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east, west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." That's exciting. He said, people that are not Jews will come down and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. "But I say, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." He said, those that were born in the kingdom, at the end of their days, will not be in the kingdom. Those that were born out of the kingdom, at the end of their days, will be in the kingdom. Can I encourage us? Our goal should not be to be good church people. Our goal should be great Jesus disciples, Jesus followers, and kingdom citizens with Jesus as king. I don't know everyone in this room, but I think it's probably safe to say that if so, maybe less than half a dozen, but I don't know if there's anybody that is 100% Jewish in this room. We're the fulfillment of this scripture. We came from New York, the East Coast, LA and the West Coast, come from the Midwest, from Michigan and Wisconsin, came from the South, good states like Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. Some of us have crossed oceans to get here. And here we stand today, different colors, different backgrounds. Some of us raised Muslim. Some of us raised Jehovah's Witness. Some former Catholics, some former Baptists, some former Methodists. But somewhere along the line we said, "Jesus, Lord, you're my king." There was people who grew up in it. Just think, while we worship the king today, there are Jews thousands of miles that are waiting for the Messiah, and he's already come. They're waiting for a Messiah, and he's already sitting on the throne. I want to talk to some centurions today. I want to talk to those of you that can identify him as Jesus and Lord today, that you've got things going on, sickness. You've got things going on, that there's possession. There's spirits coming against you. Some of that is real. Some of that is brought on by ourselves. But let me just say, you're in a fight for faith today. I want you to leave your seat. I want you to come to this altar, and I just want you to get ready.